The guy's going to have 150 tackles and 10 sacks. I mean, what do you want from this kid? I'll say it this way. I love the way the Bucks are playing right now.
Bucks fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is on. The playoffs are here and the Bucks are in it. Not spectators. It's official. Holy crap. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan is here. The star of the show is the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the king of Pasco County himself, the custodian of Canton, Uncle Ira, Ira Kaufman. Man Sage, we are just fired up. This has been one of the greatest days of my life. More than 24 hours of just basking in Bucks decency and glory and not being humiliated to wear a t-shirt and to throw down my Buccaneers towel at the beach. It's unbelievable, Ira. This is the 13th season of JoeBucksFan.com. The streak is done. The 12-year playoff drought is over. How are you?
I'm feeling very good for these loyal Buck fans, and there's so many of them. And Steve, you, me, and Lee have met so many of them at many a training camp over the years. We are the anomaly among Buck media. We don't mind shaking hands and meeting these fans. And that's what I thought about on Saturday afternoon, a historic first half for the Bucks. I swear Brady could have thrown for 600 yards very easily. The Lions were laying down, Lee, guys wide open, good protection. But the Bucks did the right thing. They took Brady out, and here comes Blaine. Now, when Blaine Gabbert throws two touchdowns, Lee, against you, you're bad. You're bad. You're officially stamped bad across your forehead. That's what it means. And Steve, no longer, Steve, do the three of us, and we've all done it a ton over the last decade or so, have to say and write and talk about on this podcast, quote, the NFC's longest playoff drought. Lee, it's over. It's all over, as Howard Cosell would say. Down goes the Lions. Down go the Falcons. The Bucks are in the playoffs. I'm going to give Tom Brady a break. I'm not going to hold it against him that he gave me a hand to the face yesterday on the Zoom call. Here I am crafting a beautiful question, taking the wild card route. Tom, how tough is it going to be going on the road? How difficult, Tom? And his answer, we got a tough Falcon team coming to Tampa next week. I'm not even going to hold it against him, Lee. It shows that his focus is where it should be. And I don't care what he says on his own Instagram account. I don't care that he insulted me a little bit, like that scene out of Goodfellas. Yeah, he insulted him a little bit. But it's all jubilation for Buck Nation. And we'll see where they land. Number five, number six, whatever number you pick, Lee, they are going to the postseason. It's a beautiful thing.
I wish there was two other things that would be over. And Bucks fans can relate to both of them because we're assaulted with this. First, that damn NFL.com commercial where they keep showing that fat woman walking out of the bar with a Matthew Stafford jersey, acting like she's something people want, and acting like that damn Stafford jersey is something people want. I'm sick of that commercial. Enough! And even more so, who is this asshole that is slandering a good man's name by the name of Kornacki? I never heard of this guy until about 2 weeks ago, and they got some over-caffeinated idiot trying to tell me about playoff seating. He's slandering the good name of Steve Kornacki, Ira. You know Steve Kornacki. You worked for him. Steve worked for him. I sort of worked for him at one time. A great man, a strong journalist, the pride of Michigan, and this asshole is ruining his name. I'm over with this guy. Get him off my TV screen. Get him off out of my living room.
That's a beautiful assist by you, Lee. It set me up beautifully. Two things. One, Steve, this is not rocket science. The three of us can break down the NFL standings. We don't need Steve Kornacki. Standings. Now, the real Steve Kornacki, who Lee is referring to, is a guy that's been in Michigan a long time, covered the Wolverines, you know, the Tigers, did it all. And he worked for the Tribune in the 2000s. And Steve, true story, after the Bucks won the Super Bowl, a couple of months later, Steve Kornacki, who was, one of the sports executives at the Tribune, said to me at lunch, how about doing a big project? Do a big story. And, you know, take your time. Take a couple of weeks. Take a month and do something special. And I thought about it. And I came back to Steve the next day and I said, you know what I want to do? I want to do the ultimate profile of George Steinbrenner. And he said, George Steinbrenner, we've written 1,200 stories about George Steinbrenner. This is his adopted town. I said, yeah, but all the stories is about his charities and what he did at training camp here in Tampa with the Yankees. And I'm talking about a big, big profile. And guys, I got to tell you, it's the hardest story I ever worked on. I took about 2 to 3 weeks. I called everybody. The first call I made was to Al Davis. That was the first call. And Joey Johnston was in the office and said, you're not going to get Al Davis. He doesn't know you. I said, Al Davis and George are good friends. And I said, I can get Al Davis. Well, I called his office. His secretary answered. And I said, I'm Ira Kaufman from Tampa Tribune. I'm doing a big, big story on George Steinbrenner in his hometown paper. And if you told Al that I'm doing that, I think he would want to contribute to it. Well, I hung up the phone. Johnston said, you ain't getting a call back. 20 minutes later, same secretary. Be at this phone number at 3 o'clock. Well, I went home, sitting on my patio. 3 o'clock, the phone rings. Al Davis, 2,500 miles away. Brooklyn accent matched up against Brooklyn accent. You should have had a tape of this phone call. And he goes, what can I do for you? I said, Al, first I got to tell you, I'm a Chiefs fan in the 60s. I hated your guts, Al. Hated your guts. He loved that. He loved it. He goes, you're from Brooklyn? I go, absolutely. Well, he went to Erasmus High School in Brooklyn. He said, where'd you go? I said, New Utrecht. Ah, their team sucked. We had good teams at Erasmus. And then, guys, true story, I told him what I was doing, and I said, what do you want to say about George Steinbrenner's impact? And this was the quote from Al Davis. It was the first quote in the story, because you can't get any better. Al Davis said to me without hesitation, Ira, in the history of sports, two men stand above all others for profound impact. I'm number one, Steinbrenner second. That's what he said. I said, thank you very much, Al. And he said, we're going to keep kicking the Chiefs' ass, Ira. And he hung up. I also got Larry David. I tracked him down because of the Steinbrenner character on Seinfeld. He called me back from L.A. I talked to Faye Vincent. I talked to this person. I talked to that person. Then I had a four-hour sit-down with Steinbrenner at Malio's, his favorite steakhouse in Tampa. And 4 hours, he answered all my questions. He gave me his all-time Yankee team, which I didn't think he would do. You know, he's leaving out great players left and right. And I wrote the story. It was four pages in the sports section. They loved every bit of it. It finished third in the AP feature category for the year, third. And I remember Duke Moss was our sports editor, I think. He read it a couple of weeks after that AP award came out, and he read it again, and he said, I don't see how anything could have been better than this, Ira. And that's a hell of a compliment. And then Steinbrenner called me the day that it published in the Tribune, and he said, Kaufman, I don't call too many people after they write stories about me. That was the fairest story that anybody's ever done on me. So he became a friend from that point on. But I worked with Kornacki. Steve, I know we're veering a little bit off the subject, but if Lee's going to bring up Steve Kornacki, I'm going to tell that story.
All right, Sage, now you mentioned Buccaneers fans, the ecstasy and the excitement, and you're so happy for them. Saturday, you know, in some ways it was just a formality. Of course, after Matthew Stafford got injured early, they weren't going to come back. The Lions, the Bucs got up to a 13-0 lead in a hurry. The slow start bug is over. What's the state of the Bucs right now, Ira? Can we read into this game? Are they playoff ready? Do you need to see anything against the Falcons in the season finale at all? Or is your feeling about this Bucs team and its playoff readiness cemented?
Well, there's two ways to look at it, Steve. One, they just played 90 minutes of the greatest football this franchise has seen in a long, long time. Quality football with the efficiency and ruthlessness, I think, of the 2002 team. Now, that's the last 90 minutes. It's not that's not 15 games, but it's 90 minutes. The last half of the Atlanta game and the entire Detroit game. Lee, the other way to look at it, you're beating up on the nobodies. You're not going to be playing a nobody deep into the playoffs. You're going to have to play a Seattle, a Green Bay, a New Orleans eventually to get where you want to go. And it's, you're not going to be facing scrubs. I'll say it this way. I love the way the Bucs are playing right now. Brady has time to throw. His arm looked alive and wonderful. He had tremendous zip on the ball. He had great touch on the ball. They ran the ball pretty well without Ronald Jones. The defense, well, Detroit's got a pop gun attack, but the defense was strong. Special teams stunk. Let's be honest about it. Stunk. Keith Armstrong, if you're listening to this podcast, get off your ass and crack down on these guys. That was unacceptable, especially that punt return. But Lee, they're playing great football, and the odds are they're going to take a four-game winning streak, unless they fall on their ass or rest everybody, into the postseason. And if they do that, they'll be playing the NFC East winner, and I like their chances in that game. It's a great time to be a Bucs fan right now. Lee, we didn't know how they were going to play in the fourth quarter of the season. Minnesota was okay, not great. But I'll tell you what, the last 90 minutes, Lee, they could beat anybody the way they're playing.
You know, that's just it. Sure, you know, the Falcons are, you know, going through an upheaval. The Lions are the Lions. You know, what is it, Adam Schein always says? The rebuilding Lions since 1958. I think he always said 57. But you know what? This is what you want to see against garbage teams. And they're doing it at the right time. You know, you want to be going into the playoffs hot as a firecracker, and there's no one hotter than Brady right now. And I've yet to read this, and if I haven't read it and someone's written it, I apologize. It's gotten past me. But I remember this time last year, Brady was starting to slip. He was going downhill.
That's right.
Right now, a year older, but he's in Florida. He's in Tampa. Same time period, he's going up. It's going, you know, as the Glazers like to say, arrow pointing up.
Arrow pointing up. Absolutely, yeah. Right.
This is what you want. If you're playing a bad team, you pound them, number one. Number two, if you're, you know, second last week of the season, if you're going to do anything in the playoffs, you want to be playing well. They're playing well right now. I'll let the special teams skate. We think of the bad special teams as a field goal kicker and suck up told Arians, like, I can't stay in this turf at Lions Park, where they call Ford Field, excuse me. And sure enough, he stunk. Maybe it's in his head. I don't know. So, to me, everything's looking good at the right time for the Bucs. Elias Sports Bureau had this, Ira, and this blew my mind. Apparently, the four quarters put together, the second half against the Falcons, the first half against the Lions, Brady threw for 600 and some yards. That's the most in three consecutive quarters in 40 years. And there was some other stuff involved too, you know, throwing X amount of touchdowns, X amount of yards. You know, I'm Debbie Downer, but right now I'm not Debbie Downer. I'm very, very bullish right now on the Bucs.
We're starting to learn what makes Brady so special, Steve. I mean, people were counting him out a month ago, Steve. That's not a stretch. Where's Brady's arm? He can't hit the long ones.
Ira, you got to work with me here. Who are these people, and why should I give a shit what they have to say?
Oh.
Well, the Bucs were losing, Steve. They were losing at the time, so that gives it a little weight, a little heft. Steve, you jumped in. You didn't let me get to point number two, which you're going to love. So many guys are playing well right now for the home team. But you know who's almost leading the charge? I mean, Brady's leading the charge. Gronkowski's coming on strong. Steve, he looks quicker. That first touchdown in the right corner, beautiful throw, beautiful catch. Beautiful catch. I mean, he was fairly well covered. It wasn't an easy catch. He had to outstretch his arms. Gronkowski's having a lot of fun out there, Steve. And boy, he's arriving at the right time, because here comes January, cold weather. Gronkowski's a warrior in the playoffs. He's been tremendous in the postseason his entire career. He's a big, big factor going forward.
He's a big factor, Ira. You're right. And he's the one guy that I sure hope they don't let play in the season finale. And I want to use this logic, Ira. The Patriots are used to getting a first round bye. That they're used to that. And he played for the Patriots. So I don't want to hear about how Gronkowski, oh, he might get stale, or the week off. The guy's played his whole storied playoff career, almost, most of it, with a week off entering the playoffs. So give him the week off. You should be able to beat the Falcons without Rob Gronkowski in the season finale. I mean, this season has been so much about making sure he's healthy for the playoffs, where he's beyond great, and we have that chance. Don't blow it by sticking him in there against the Falcons. Ira, Bill Curry Ford, wow, the end of the year sales are flying right now. This is the greatest time to buy a vehicle. The deals are unbelievable. Go to BillCurryFord.com to see them all. And General Manager Sean Sullivan, America's greatest Bucks fan, or at least a tie for America's greatest Bucks fan, he is ready to work with you personally. He is there all week. You can email him or just pop in at the dealership 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium. He's going to give you an Ira Kaufman podcast discount on top of their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. They're dying to get rid of all the 2020s, and the inventory is fantastic at Bill Curry Ford. Shop immediately at BillCurryFord.com. And Sage, I want to remind everybody that, you know, New Year's is coming up, Big Storm beer. It's always great to drink Big Storm beer, but a lot of people drink more beer at holiday time. Go to the tap rooms in Odessa and Clearwater and see the massive selection of Big Storm beer. So many specialty beers and the great core beers we love, like Bromosa and Tropic Pressure, Golden Ale, and the Wavemaker Amber Ale. But they're also in the stores. So you can head into a Fresh Market and grab some Big Storm beer. But just go to BigStormBrewery.com, BigStormBrewery.com, punch in your zip code, and you can see where they sell it near you. So it makes it very, very easy. It's a great gift for the holidays. Florida's best craft beer is Big Storm beer. Sage, Gronkowski, I agree with you. And the Bucks are, the offense is flying here. But I want to throw one thing out to you and Lee. I haven't written about it yet. And it's an interesting little nugget. Arians let it slip on the Buccaneers radio network after the game. You know, they do a different interview with him than you see on the new on the Zoom call that where you were, Ira. And the Buccaneers, they won the coin toss and they opted for the first time to keep the football on Sunday. And Arians revealed during the radio network that he talked to Tom Brady about that before the game to see if Tom was okay with it and to see if he was up for that. And I'm like, are you kidding me? He's saying, Tom, is it okay if we take the football? What happens if he says no? I mean, I was floored by that. But Arian said he talked to Brady, and Brady said, let's attack. And, of course, they scored on the opening drive. And what do you make of that?
Well, I think it's over the top. I think by the laughter I just heard from DeKemper, he's right there with me. You don't have to run everything past Tom Brady. I mean, you know, this is a coaching decision. The coaching decision. What if Brady said, I prefer to defer? Now, all of a sudden, you got to go against your own instincts. Arian's instincts, Lee, were right on Saturday. The slow starts, we got to turn this around. I want the football. I got confidence in Brady. I want the football. None of this nonsense about we want the double score. We want to score at the end of the first half, and then we get the ball again in the third. That never works out, Lee. That works out once every 3 months.
You know, a very famous coach that was his core value, and he had a lot of success.
Lee, you don't have to run everything past Tommy Boy. You want the football. Tell Brady you're taking the football. I can't believe Brady would disagree with that, Lee, and say, no, I don't want the ball at the start of the game. Are you kidding me? Then I'd start worrying about Brady. So the overall point is that Arians did the right thing yesterday. You know, acknowledge the problem. Acknowledge it, that you've had trouble. putting points on the board in the first quarter and attack it right off the bat. Now, Lee, granted, they're playing the worst defense in football. I mean, the worst. They've given up the most touchdowns in the National Football League. If he was playing the Steelers, maybe he doesn't feel that way. But he did the right thing, and it worked out beautifully. And I think it was over the top that you got to ask Brady.
Yeah, I don't know what to think of. That's over the top or not. The conspiracy theory is that basically the Bucks turned over complete power to Brady, if you believe that. So that would be consistent. Brady has all his power. Like, Mr. Brady, what should we do? So I don't know if I agree with that or not, but that would be consistent with the conspiracy theories. Irish, should I let the cat out of the bag and tell you the name of the coach who was a big believer in deferring to start the game? He always wanted the ball to start the second half.
Wait a minute. I might take a guess on this. Is it a current coach? No.
No, he's retired.
All right.
He's anything but a loser.
All right. Bill Walsh.
Oh, you're right up there. But no, it's not Walsh. It is college football. And the man's name is Bobby Bowden. I mean, he won a few games.
He did win a few games.
And he was a big believer in that. His theory was not just offensive. Not just, hey, you know, double score, but also if they happen to be behind, it gave them a chance to, okay, we got a chance right away to get back in the game or retake the lead. He was a huge believer in deferring. But there's this Konacki character again. Get him up. Enough! Get off my screen!
Steve, I'm going to defer to Bobby Bowden on this one, but I salute Arians for changing up yesterday.
A couple other things from Arians. I thought it was a little interesting when he said that after the game, he said he was really hoping to get Mike Evans the record, the 1,000-yard season, which would be his seventh consecutive time, set the all-time record. He was really hoping to get Evans the record yesterday so he could rest him on Sunday against the Falcons. Yeah. And I thought that was a little bit interesting. And I went back to look up. Arians made a firm speech after clinching the playoffs in 2015 with the Cardinals that he does not believe in resting players. He said some guys get stale, and he had a whole thing about it. And this year he's talking about resting guys, and he keeps sort of flip-flopping. I'm not sure. Maybe we'll rest some guys. I really wonder what they're going to do on Sunday.
Well, to me, there's an extra wrinkle in this thing. Usually the question about resting guys, Lee, is a situation where you're locked into a playoff seating. You're locked in. You might be one or two and in the old days had a bye, or you might be locked into the final seed. That's not the case, Lee. It's not the case. And I think the more that Arians discusses this with Light, with the Glazers, and he will, with Light, the Glazers, and yes, Tom Brady, Lee, he'll be part of the discussion without question. There will be some talks going on at One Buck Place this week about what to do. And Lee, I think it comes down to, do you think there's a significant advantage in winning that game, going all out to win it, in a sense, and locking up that number five seed and playing the NFC East winner? If you don't think the NFC East winner is clearly the easiest path to move on, Lee, then resting guys takes on more significance, more credibility, Lee. But I think the more they talk about it, they're going to realize we better win this game. And if we get a big lead at halftime, like we did at Detroit, we'll rest guys and we'll rest Brady. But I think there's significance to winning this game, Lee. I think that trumps other concerns.
Hey, Lee.
Yeah.
Hey, Lee.
Go ahead.
Before you go, Lee, I just want to give a quick alert, a quick heads up that, Lee, when you're finished, I'm going to blow my stack at Ira, and I'm just preparing for that right now. Go ahead, Lee.
Okay.
Well, the only thing I can say about, you know, why Arians, you know, 3 years ago, 4 years, 5 years ago, said he didn't believe in resting guys, and now he's talking about resting guys. And I don't. What I'm about to say is sheer speculation. I do know the Bucks are big in sports science. Arians, he wasn't a huge believer in sports science, but he gradually came around to that. There were a couple of things that he said that, hey, you know, sports science says this. I really didn't used to think that way, but I see that it's true and it's beneficial. So I'm wondering if there's something to do with sports science that says, you know what, rest these guys, and you're better off because of X, Y, and Z. This speculation on my part that maybe, you know, 5 years ago he didn't believe in sports science and he believed you get rusty, and apparently they've had evidence to suggest that, well, no, you don't get rusty. If guys aren't healthy, they're not going to get healthier by playing them more. They're going to get healthy by resting.
Sage, you ready?
Oh,
you better be careful over here, Isbits. You're dealing with dynamite over here. Be careful.
All right. Well, first, let me remind everybody that if you have any sort of water issue, a flood in your home, or you smell mold, or you got a disaster of any kind, but especially mold, you want to call Florida's Elite Restoration immediately. Florida's Elite Restoration, they serve the entire Tampa Bay area. They are a family-owned operation, but not too small to take care of you 24/7. You can be very confident with them. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. That's where you can get all the information. And put it in your bookmarks. If something happens, call them immediately. They'll make sure you don't get ripped off by your insurance company. They'll give you a full, free assessment of what's happening in your home. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. 24/7. And they're friends of ours. They're friends of JoeBucksFan.com. They're friends of this podcast. You know, we've heard a lot of good things about them from our readers and our listeners, so that's pretty cool. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Ira, you just said, and I'm just pulling my hair out. I don't know what to say. You just said that Bruce Arians is going to talk to Team Glazer and Jason Light and have a discussion about resting players, and your implication was that he's going to ask them what they want to do, and they'll be deciding what to do. Who the hell's coaching this team? I don't want Bruce Arians asking Brian Glazer what he thinks about resting Mike Evans, or him asking Jason Light what he thinks. They're not the coach. We hired a 68-year-old head coach so he can make these decisions with confidence and know exactly what the hell he's doing.
You're way off base over here, Isbits, and let me pull you back to second base because you're wandering into the outfield. What's wrong with getting other viewpoints? First of all, the Glazers pay the bills. Have you forgotten this, Isbits? Let me remind you, from a personal standpoint, you pay my bills, Mr. Isbits, so when you want to post one of my columns 4 hours after I write it instead of 4 minutes, I don't say a word, Isbits. You're the boss. How do you like that, Stevie? So you don't like Arians having a discussion with the Glazers? You want to shut out the Glazers? Come on now. Ultimately, Arians will make the call, as he should. But he's going to listen to other points of view. Steve, you ought to try that once in a while. Don't put yourself in a little cocoon over there, Isbits. Open your mind up, my friend. Expand.
What the hell are you talking about, Ira? First, nobody listening to this podcast believes you keep quiet about anything. Come on. Second of all, I stand firm. I want to hear what Lee thinks. Well, I don't want Bruce Arians talking to the Glazers getting input on resting players. And what does Jason Light know about that? I mean, come on. This is nonsense.
I'll tell you what's nonsense. That damn Kornacki character is once again on my screen trying to be Vanna White. Get away!
Lee, you know what the chain of command is like in sports and business and corporations. You got to pay heed to the guy that's writing the bills, Lee. What are you going to do? Shut out the Glazers? This is a big decision, Lee. And we always say on this podcast, when there's big decisions to be made, the Glazers have a little bit of a voice. What's wrong with that, Lee?
Well, I think it's just smart that you keep everybody in the loop, including the guys that cut the checks. That's always smart business, number one. Number two, I notice a lot of NFL teams, when NFL films go behind the scenes, including Arians' previous job in Arizona, all the big meetings, the important meetings, weekly meetings, how they're going to attack the next team, this, that, and the other thing. Guess who's in the room? The owner. So I know the Glazers are kind of hands off. They're sort of like, okay, we hired you. You do your job. Don't let us get mixed up. But I just think it's a smart business. I don't care what business it is. I think it's smart business to keep everyone in the loop. Everyone, you know, the important people, which would be the owner, management. Then explain why you're making these decisions. The Glazer family seems to be the type, they're okay with you making decisions. You know, that's what they hired you for. So I think it's a smart business to say, okay, I'm going to do this, and this is why. That's a smart. But I do sort of understand where Steve's coming from. You know, why are you letting non-football people make the football decisions? Well, guess what? They eventually do make the football decisions. It's called hiring and firing the coach and the GM.
Steve, you know that hand to the face that Brady gave me after the game? You just got one from me and DeKemper.
Like Josh Norman got from Derrick Henry?
Ira, Lee's talking about keeping everybody in the loop. I don't think Lee's talking about asking for input. Those are two different things. If you keep ownership in the loop and invite them into a meeting, for example, like what Lee's talking about, then you know what you just did? You saved yourself a lot of time to explain what's happening. You don't have to waste 45 minutes later in the day. That's different, but I don't want Bruce Arians calling Ed Glazer to see about, giving Ndamukong Suh 23 snaps. What do you think? Come on, man. This is insane. No. Arians should be calling the Glazers to say, guys, let's set up a Zoom call. I want to tell you how we're handling Sunday.
The key is that Arians is going to make the call. And from a Glazer perspective, they are interested in his reasoning. And they have every right to ask about that. Why are you making that decision? Why?
And they have their daily fantasy football teams as well. So that's very important.
Steve, I didn't ask you this, but bottom line, I assume you feel that Brady should start. You don't want Gronkowski in there. Evans is going to play. Would you sit down to Ndamukong Suh? You know my point of view. I'm playing people till I feel comfortable that this game is a W. And and bring on the NFC East. That's my opinion.
Well, Arians has to decide who they want to play, who's the best matchup and the best direction for the team in the playoffs. And as far as Tom Brady, look, Brady, no, there's been no 43-year-old football player in history who's managed his body like Tom Brady. So you have to defer to Brady and whatever fountain of youth he's found. You say, Tom, what do you want to do? And you let him do whatever he wants to do because he knows his body better than anybody else. So,
Vince, you got perfect timing, right? When you mentioned Tom Brady's body, NBC shows Carrie Underwood. Perfect timing.
Hey, Lee, one more point that needs to be made. I think it's interesting.
as Carrie Underwood?
With all this chatter from Brother Isbitz over here about the need for rest and wear and tear, Lee, may I point out that when the Bucs came off their bye week, they played a lousy first half against the Vikings. Were lucky to be winning because the Vikings became inept with some of their decision-making late in the second quarter. But the Bucs played a lousy first half. They didn't look ready when the game began, coming off this big week of rest. So I think that could be a factor too, Mr. DeKemper.
That might be, and it's interesting you mention that because all we heard leading up to that game was, boy, the Bucks need the bye. That's the perfect time for the bye. They're worn out. They're tired. I mean, you heard that from Arians. They're gassed. They needed that week off. And so I don't know if there was a cause and effect there or not. But I just do know that, you know, prior to that game, you know, when the Bucks entered that bye, that's all you heard about from inside one Buck Palace.
Sage, I think we're splitting some hairs here, and I'll tell you why. First off, I hate to break it to you, Ira, but in this Lions game, the Buccaneers took the football. They kicked it off to Kenyon Barner, who was running like he had a load in his diaper. I'm sorry. And then the Buccaneers had a 3-and-out that was saved by a guy jumping off sides on the Lions. And Tom Brady missed his first pass badly. So I can't, in all seriousness, if we're going to split these hairs, I can't say the Bucs came out super fast, all firing on all cylinders. They caught a break. That's football. The Lions suck, and they do these types of things. Tom Brady got sacked on the play where the offside happened. It wasn't the guy who sacked him. I don't really know. All I know is that I hope the Bucs play four more football games, right? Because that's what it's going to take to make it. And these guys need some rest if you want to go four.
Steve, my only counter to you with the start is, they scored 7 touchdowns in their first 9 possessions on Saturday. I mean, that is phenomenal. Anyway, you slice it, Lee. 7 touchdowns. Touchdowns, not field goals. Touchdowns. And, boy, that's very welcome for Buck Nation. 47-7. Lee, If I'm another NFC team, and I don't care if it's the Packers, it might even be the Saints, who've beaten this team twice and won in brutal fashion. I'm in no hurry to play the Bucs right now, Lee, if I'm one of these other NFC teams. I'm not. Right now, while I don't think the Bucs would be the favorites to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, they wouldn't be, because they got to win, probably have to win three road games. But like Steve said, there's a possibility they could get a home game. Not likely, but possible. They're very dangerous right now. I don't want to simplify this thing. You might say pass rush, and I can't argue about the importance of a pass rush. But, Lee, protecting Brady is job one, because it's Brady. Lee, it's Brady. It's not, Jared Goff, where you're putting all your chips in the middle on Jared Goff. It's Brady. And if Brady has time, and he had a very nice pocket, again, Lee, it's the Lions. I understand that. And he may not get that if he's playing the Redskins, and I think that's your fear, Lee. But protect Brady, Lee. I like this team's chances to reach the Super Bowl. How do you like them apples?
Ooh, I can't go there yet. Seattle scares me. They really do. They scare me. I don't know about playing the Packers. I know they pounded the Packers, but playing the Packers when it's 80 degrees and playing the Packers on the road when it's 10 degrees and snowing like it is tonight, that's a completely different animal. There's only really one team I would like to see the Bucs play right now. Maybe two, but one in particular. The Rams. Because they're going down. Their arrow's pointing down. Goff's looking terrible. I mean, bad enough they lose to the Jets, and then they got beat by the Seahawks in a potentially division-winning game. I think they match up with the Rams well. Of course, they only lost by a field goal earlier when the Bucs stunk. They were going through their period where they couldn't do anything right in the first quarter. So I like the Rams. I really wish they played the Rams, but the rest of the teams kind of scare me. I guess the Bears sort of. I think the Bucs will play better with the Bears. Of course, all of a sudden, Trubisky has found the fountain of youth or new life or whatever you want to call it. He's been reborn all of a sudden. Redskins even scare me. I know they're not that good, but darn Chase Young. All Chase Young needs is one snap, and he could snap Brady in half, and that worries me. I'm a big believer in a pass rush.
Ira, you got me all cranky tonight. I got to say, I was just on cloud nine. I want a Super Bowl. I'm greedy. This is not enough. This is the year they have enough to go all the way. I don't think they're the favorites to go all the way, but like you said, nobody wants to face this team with all these weapons. They're incredibly healthy. The entire offense is healthy, and that should make a difference, especially if they're gelling and Brady's got all the experience in the world. It's not an offense that you want to face in the playoffs, and the defense has enough talent to get you scared. And whatever the special teams did the other day, I don't even want to think about it, from returning to allowing that punt for a touchdown to Ryan Succop. He doesn't like the turf. What the hell is that? I mean, he's been great all year, but that was really weird in a lot of ways, Sage. But
that's as bad as Matt Gay with the south side of Ray J. I mean, come on. Stop it.
Yeah, I got a question for you, Ira.
But I was happy that he had an excuse, right? If he just had a bad day, then that would be scary. But hey, if it's in Ryan Succop's head that he doesn't kick well there, then it's probably just a one-day thing.
Ira, I got a question for you. The way the Bucs played offensively against the Falcons the second half, the way they played against Lions the first half, do you think that's sort of what the management, Bucs management and ownership, envisioned their offense being?
I absolutely do. Now, the numbers were crazy. I mean, 410 yards in the opening half yesterday. I mean, that's crazy. As it was, they pumped the brakes. They took Brady out and still ended up with a franchise record for total yards in a game without Brady in the second half. So, yeah, Lee, I think that's a great point. I think in the offseason, once Brady and Gronkowski and Fournette were secured, I kind of think this is the way that management and ownership envisioned. I know that's a high standard. By the way, guys, there's a guy we haven't mentioned. We talk a lot about him on the podcast. I think he's worth another minute or two of discussion. I think, guys, that it is a sign of Devin White's progress, his ascension, that we sort of take it for granted when the guy gets 10 tackles, more than any other player on either team, gets a sack, 3 tackles for loss, you know, and we tend to focus on what he's not that great on, which is coverage, and he misses the occasional tackle, but the Bucs have quite a player on their hands. You think he's going to do nothing but get better, and he's a very dynamic force right now.
We were sold on him as being able to be a superior blitzer, and he wasn't that up until recently. And all of a sudden, he seemed to have turned the corner on that. I'm of the belief, you know what? You play to a guy's strengths. And right now, his strength is not pass coverage. It's pass rushing. I'd start blitzing him more. What do you got to lose? One less guy in bad coverage and one more pass rusher, along with Shaq and JPP? I think that's a win-win if you pass rush him.
He's got a marvelous future in this league. I mean, he really does. Given his youth, you know, he was hurt a little bit his rookie season. Slowed him down a little bit. Steve, the guy's going to have 150 tackles and 10 sacks. I mean, what do you want from this kid? Yeah, he misses a couple of tackles in the open field, but boy, he does a lot of positive things for this football team.
Yeah, Ira, look, White's been really coming on, and I find it interesting. He seems to have had some of his very best games on turf, and I wonder if he picks up an extra gear worth of speed on the turf. And so, you know, it's just something I'm keeping an eye on. But he's been coming on, and that's all you can ask for. And if they're going to blitz him more, that seems to be more of a strength of his versus the pass coverage. Let him create some havoc. And, you know, he's got the speed and the young legs, and he's fired up. So it's exciting times. On the Buccaneers radio network before the game, Jason Light said that he hopes that Lavonte David and Devin White can be kept together for quite a long time, that they're an incredible tandem. And, of course, that's a reference to Lavonte David becoming a free agent after this season. And that's yet another decision that the Buccaneers will have and that Lavonte David will have, because the Bucs might not offer him you know, what he could get elsewhere, but it'll be a question of whether he wants to stay. Sage, you are an all-pro in the podcast world. You are the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. You're presented by Bill Curry Ford. And that's just not a name that we throw around here. We love Bill Curry Ford. We are customers of Bill Curry Ford. General Manager Sean Sullivan is ready to help you, even just talk to you on the phone. Answer your emails with any questions you might have. Now is the time to buy. It's the end of the year. Best deals around. BillCurryFord.com. And we thank Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Sage was throwing back his Tropic Pressure Florida Ale the other day, and he loves that so much. Of course, Ira will be watching road games again. We have one more coming up with these playoffs, Ira, maybe more. So we've got some good times ahead at Big Storm in Clearwater. And we remember Florida's EliteRestoration.com. That's the website. The moment you have any sort of disaster in your home, if you see water, mold, call them first. Sage, parting thoughts here. We've got a big week of Bucs football. These are exciting times. Fans are fired up. It's just a great time to be alive as a Bucs fan. It's a Monday morning. People are all jacked up. What do you got to say to everybody as they kick off their week, as we prepare for this Falcons game and a freaking playoff game? Unbelievable, a Bucs playoff game.
We need a little perspective, guys, and I'm going to provide it. You know, I'm at that age. I'm at that tender age when, a man thinks about retirement.
78.
I appreciate the fact that, Lee, you and Steve say, slow down now, Ira, slow down. You're still should be active. You got a contribution to make. We love you on Joe Bucs Fan. That's much appreciated. But, Lee, there is something to retire, and there's no speculation about it. From this day forward, I am officially retiring the phrase, quote, the NFC's longest playoff drought. Hallelujah, Mr. DeCempa. It has been retired.
You know, you just reminded me why the Bucs need to win against the Falcons.
Let me hear.
They don't have a winning record at home in forever. It's still the den of depression.
We got to have you retire that phrase too, Lee.
Well, it takes five wins in the season at home. And so far, they only have four wins at home.
Well, Lee, I've got one caveat to that. One caveat. I was thinking about that the other day. And just a refresher for anyone who's new to the podcast or new to the website or only listens to the podcast, we refer on joebucksfan.com to the stadium as the Den of Depression because the Buccaneers haven't had a winning record there since 2010? No, 2008?
Yeah.
It's either 2008 or 2007, but Chucky was coach.
Yep.
Correct. So, yeah, brutal home record. Fans have been abused. Lovie Smith once lost every single home game in a season. And so we committed a long time ago that if the Buccaneers have a winning record in any one season, the nickname gets retired. The Buccaneers are 4-3 at home. So the season finale's at home. They got to win that game. Otherwise, they don't have a winning record. But Lee, I got to throw this out there just in case the Bucs don't play everybody. I'm going to say that if they win a home game in the playoffs, then that's the tiebreaker and it gets thrown out.
That's the tiebreaker. If they lose another game and only have four and four, if they have a home playoff game and they win that game, that's the tiebreaker. And the name is, what's a good verb to use? Killed. It's killed off.
Or defrocked, as we used to use for Jim Bates. All right, Sage, you're out of here. I'm glad you're not thinking of retirement seriously, Ira, because you're far too young for that, and you don't work that hard anyway, so don't worry about it.
I thought Ira was talking about something else that didn't work in his age. Most people don't retire over that.
But. Lee, take us out with one more reference to Steve Kornacki, Mr. DeKemper.
No, the game has started. There is no Steve Kornacki anymore.
That's not a bad gig.